I invite you to stand now as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, reading from the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left, "You that are cursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. A holy and loving God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath morning that you've called us together to worship you. We thank you for the gift of your holy word. And I ask now, O Lord, that as your word is proclaimed, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds and the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would continue to bring glory to your holy name and be acceptable in your sight. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Throughout the month of July, we've been reviewing together Bishop Snasey's five practices of faithful living. We've been looking at ways that we can develop those practices in our own lives to have a closer relationship with God and with others. We talked about radical hospitality, where we open our lives and our hearts to God. We say yes to God. We allow God to bring that amazing gift of his grace and love into our lives. And then we respond to that love with passionate worship. We offer our best selves back to God when we come together for praise and thanksgiving. We give the Lord our best. We give our whole selves, our heart, our soul, our mind, our might. In worship, we give back to God the love that he first gave us. And then we realize that it's more than just Sunday mornings that we should offer that gift of love back to God. And that calls us into intentional faith development, where each and every day we need to spend time with the Lord, and sometimes that happens best in community. Intentional faith development helps us to grow deeper, deeper in our knowledge of God, deeper in love with God, deeper in our relationship to God and our relationship with one another. And as we become closer to one another, as we find ourselves more and more not only in love with God, but in love with our neighbors, we realize that as we look around us, there is a lot of folks who are in need. There are a lot of persons who need to know God's love. There are a lot of individuals and families that need a word of hope and encouragement. And so that leads us to risk-taking mission and service, which is the fourth of the practices that Bishop Snasey puts forth, risk-taking, mission, and service. The scripture that Roland read this morning from the letter of James reminds us that faith without works is dead. It's not enough just to hear the word of God. We need to be doers of that word. We need to take that word from here out into the streets and show people God's love and show others that we are Christians by our love. There's a natural progression here. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to one another, the more we want to show others that love. We can't help but want to make a difference. Bishop Snazy says this: "The practice of compassionate service in Christ's name grows from interior decision, a spiritual reorientation. As our life with God becomes more vibrant, dynamic, and real, we discover that we can choose to stand in a place of love, of hope, and of risk with an outward-focused posture. Or we can choose to stand in a place of fear, defensiveness, protection, and self-absorption. Our hearts turn outward towards others, and we follow Jesus toward them. Or we focus inwardly and away from others and go our own way. The more consciously aware we become of our interior life with God, the better choices we make. Growing closer to God draws us closer to one another." The gospel lesson for this morning is that familiar parable of the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are those who are blessed by God because they have taken the time to help others, not realizing that in doing that, that they have actually served Christ. Jesus tells us that whenever we reach out in service to others, we truly are reaching out to him. When you feed someone, when you feed the hungry, when you offer that cup of water to the thirsty, when you visit someone who's sick or in prison, when you welcome a stranger, when you provide clothes or flip-flops for those in need, you do this for Christ. You do it to Christ. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates Jesus' response this way: "Then the king will say, 'I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me.'" Not only are we serving Christ, but we are, in our risk-taking service and mission, we are changing lives. We change the lives of those who receive the gifts. We change our own lives in offering those gifts. And we change the world one or two lives at a time as we offer love, hope, encouragement, and we partner with God and with others to truly make all things new. It's risk-taking because we go out of our comfort zone to help others. We make ourselves vulnerable. Again, Bishop Snazy writes, "The practice of risk-taking mission and service pushes us out of our comfort zone and into places we would never go on our own. Those who practice risk-taking mission and service place themselves in situations that will change their minds. They voluntarily set aside their own convenience for a higher purpose. They follow Jesus into areas they would not tread on their own volition. They practice service with passion and intentionality, pouring themselves out for others. They go where Jesus leads, even when it is uncomfortable, awkward, unexpected, and costly. They risk." Risk-taking mission and service is that place where courage and joy intermingle, and you find that smiles abound. This morning, we're going to see some pictures of risk-taking mission and service that we were involved with this week. And I want to remember to say thank you for Steve for putting together our slideshow presentation this morning. We were involved in two different arenas where we were involved in risk-taking mission and service. This week, we are a part of Transform Lycoming County, which also will be going on the first week in August in Williamsport. And we also hosted two families as part of Family Promise all through this week. Our VIM group started every morning at 7:30 with a hot breakfast prepared by one of the families in our church. And this was followed by devotions. And after devotions, then we were given directions for our day, directions of what our jobs would be and who we would be working with. We had a total of 56 volunteers from five different churches, and they ranged in age from 9 to 79. And together, we completed 13 projects. Last year was our first time doing this on our own here in the Muncie area, and we completed 6 projects, and we had 22 field workers. The projects included painting, trimming shrubs, plumbing. We were challenged by situations beyond our abilities. Ask Dave Pence about his adventure. We replaced stairs and more shrubs. We did a lot of weeding. We cleaned windows. We removed bird nests. We repaired roofs. We worked together. We listened to the homeowners. And we worked together. We had new adventures. They were risk-taking at times. We built ramps. We brought smiles to homeowners, and we enjoyed each other. You'll see some young people up on the roof, and Emily Webb in a moment is going to share her experience, but she got to use an automatic nailer for the first time. We scraped some more, and we painted, and we listened. We listened to the stories of those for whom we were working. While these slides are going on, I will say that Friday evening, we gathered here in the Celebration Center with the families where we were invited in to be a part of their lives. And we shared a meal together. And it was wonderful to hear the conversations and to join together and to welcome them into our home in the same way that we were welcomed into their homes. We even had an opportunity to do some work here at the church to spruce up a few things. We had new experiences. We made new friends. At times, we were pushed outside of our comfort zones, and we brought hope into situations where families were truly overwhelmed. We ended each of our days back at the church with reports and stories of the day's work, and then with closing devotions. This morning, I'd like to say a special word of thanks to Denny Hammond for organizing our week. And all these green shirts you see, these are all people that worked, part of the group of 56 that worked during the week. And I invite everyone who had any part this week in Transform Lycoming County to stand. If you baked, if you helped with a meal, any and all of you, please stand so we can say a word of thanks. It truly was a great week of working together. As I mentioned, we also hosted Family Promise this week, and for privacy reasons, we don't have pictures of our Family Promise guests. But as Patrice said this morning, we owe Joyce McCarty a special word of thanks for organizing the Family Promise week and for all that she did to be sure that things ran smoothly. We had van drivers, we had people that were hosts in the evening, we had families that provided meals, and Patrice Bond spent every night overnight here all this week. So a special word of thanks not only to Joyce, but to all those who helped with Family Promise. And if you would please stand. You had the cushy job? It's amazing when you really let yourself be vulnerable and are in service to the Lord by helping others. It was a wonderful week, but we can't end there. It can't just be one week of service. There's more, there are always more opportunities to help. Lives are changed, ours and theirs, one life at a time. So why are we so reluctant then sometimes to be a part of risk-taking mission and service? Perhaps it's because we think we don't have any gifts. One of the volunteers this week said that when she first volunteered and called up John Best in Williamsport to be a part of a mission trip, she said, "But I don't think I can do anything." And John said, "Can you breathe?" And of course she could breathe. And so there was always something for her to do. We learn together. We work together. All you need to be able to do is breathe, and there's a job for you. Sometimes we think that our job is too little. My very first mission trip, Ron Hoover, who was my mentor, said that there are 3 ways you participate in mission trips. You pray for them, you play at them, meaning all of us who worked, and you pay for them. So I'm, you know, there are some in the congregation that I know have helped financially with our projects, and we could use more financial gifts to pay for some of the work that we did this week. But we pray, we play, and we pay. So there are ways for everyone to be involved in risk-taking mission and service. Of course, time commitments are always an obstacle, and we have to find ways to make risk-taking mission and service a priority. But probably the greatest obstacle to risk-taking mission and service is a sense of cynicism, a sense that with all the needs in the world, with all the needs in our community, what difference will it make? Why bother? It's true for every home, for every family in need, there are dozens more. Our job truly could be never-ending. It just means that there are more opportunities to make a difference, one life, one family at a time. Jesus never said, "Blessed are you because you solved all the water issues of the world. Blessed are you because all the hunger concerns are now gone. Blessed are you because all the poverty challenges have been overcome." Jesus didn't say you have to visit all the sick and all those in prison. What Jesus says is you're blessed if you do it for just one. If you do it for just one, that truly makes all the difference. And if you think our work doesn't make a difference, I want to share just two little notes that we have. This one is from Frances Ann Hall, who we did work for this week. "I'd like to thank everyone that was connected with doing the repairs to my home in Montgomery. All the workers were very pleasant to be around." She really appreciated the work that we did and couldn't finish saying thank you to us for how we were the hands and feet of Christ. And then this is a letter not to us, but to some who were a part of a VIM mission trip after Hurricane Sandy. And it's entitled "To Our Friends in Christ." A word that is too often used these days is awesome. Probably the only thing that is truly awesome is the love of God. I cannot comprehend nor appreciate how truly awesome a hug from Jesus would be. This week, we were privileged with a taste of that overwhelming feeling of Christ's love when you came to the rescue in the restoration of our mother's storm-slash-flood-damaged house. We went from being overwhelmed with repairs to being overwhelmed with love. We experienced how two Christians work. They are there when one or more of God's children are floundering, discouraged, overwhelmed, lonely, or struggling. Like the story of the Good Samaritan, rather than worrying about what would happen to me if I take the time and energy and resources to help these people, you instead asked, "What would happen to these people if I did not take the time and energy to help them?" We are deeply indebted to you for your kindness and generosity and must find a suitable way to pay it forward. The only people in life that we really must get even with are those who've helped us. On behalf of my mom and my family, thank you for your inspiration in Christ, Gary. We help one family at a time, one life at a time, and truly that makes all the difference in the world. And that's what Christ has asked of us. One family, one life, one home repaired, one life changed. It made a difference to them, and truly that's all that matters. Amen.